Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. I'm Laura.
I'm Carrie.
This is
Sexy, Sexy Unique
Podcast. Tough Sicilian bitches. Tough Sicilian bitches.
Bitches.
They get tougher and tougher with every passing week.
They get tougher and tougher like a nice slab of meat.
How tough are they? They're tough as beef jerky, Italian jerky, sausage jerky.
Tough as a Slim Jim.
Tough as a three-day-old meatball sub.
Tough as a bag of jerky. Tough as a bag of lamb jerky.
Tough as a salsica. Salsicha.
I need to just make two show recommendations really fast.
Yes.
What We Do in the Shadows is so funny.
Okay, gotta watch. I need a funny show.
Oh, it's Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords and Taika Waititi.
Oh my God, he's so hot. He's so hot, I can't take it.
He directs them. It's so good. And then Insecure, I just finished season two.
Insecure is great. I need to watch this season, but I wanted to wait so I could just like binge it all in a weekend.
Simon and I are like, we watch like four episodes a night. It's so good. And the seasons go by too fast, which is like, I hate when a show is so good and like so quick,
because
I just stay in it, but that's why it's so good.
Yeah.
But
I love Molly on Insecure. Is like, she might be my amazing. Favorite. Yeah, she's so good.
And the sex scenes are like shocking sometimes, and the guys are unbelievably hot.
Yeah, everyone on that show is like truly the hot, like it's a show of the hottest people I've ever seen.
Yeah. But yeah, those two shows.
Yeah,
actually,
it ended recently. Okay, so I've got to binge that. I need a pick me up because I've just finished I Know This Much Is True, and that honestly was the most depressing show I've ever seen. It's really good.
I'm not watching it.
Don't watch it. Well, if you want to be truly epically depressed, give it a go, but it was too much. Like it got so depressing that I would have to like zone out on the iPad or something, because I was just like, I can't take it anymore. And I have like a very high tolerance for like depressing entertainment.
I'm not watching it.
Don't do it.
I
watched Casino on Sunday or on Saturday night, like rewatched it because it had been a while. Still holds up. Great flick. Yeah. Sharon Stone.
Amazing. Such a tragic, amazing character.
Yeah.
Ginger. Ginger. I also, I'm trying to go back and watch like some older HBO shows. This year I started rewatching The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
And per you, like your love for it, I just got in my head. And then I started watching The Wire for the first time.
Yeah, I'm going to start watching. That's like next on my list.
It's really good. I'm only on like episode 4, but it's very brutal. And yeah. Idris Elba's in it, and Dominic West.
Ugh.
Who I just, yeah.
Yeah, it's a show of hot people. It's a hot people show for sure.
Hot people show.
Another hot person show. God, everyone's so hot on HBO.
I know. HBO really is the best.
HBO is the sexiest. HBO Max, I'm like, I don't love it.
Oh, yeah.
But...
Mm. The show I wrote on, Summer Camp Island,
has now gone
to HBO Max.
Oh, chic.
So you can watch it. My season won't come out probably till next year, but you should watch it.
Yeah. I mean, I do love that Search Party is going to be on HBO Max. I rewatched all of season 1 and 2, like, in 2 days last week.
It's so good.
Get hyped up and remember, because I forgot that show came out so fucking long ago, like in 2016, but it still feels like incredibly relevant. Season 1 is truly one of the best seasons of television I've ever seen.
John Early.
I know. Everyone. Rock stars.
Everyone.
Congrats to the team. The
you were all rock stars.
Team. Yeah, The Wire's on my list. I have a lot of HBOing to do. And I'm trying to, like, I need more, like, mafia-based entertainment, which is why I watched Casino, and I was, like, trying to revisit some of my favorite Sopranos episodes, but really, it's just chasing the dragon at this point, because nothing will compare to, like, watching that show for the first time.
Yeah, what's a good, like, crime...
I need to watch Gomorrah, but they took that off of Netflix, so now I have to buy it, which I'm just like have been resistant to.
The Wire is good because just from what I've seen, it definitely showcases like what's fucked up in the police system.
Yeah.
But I'm trying.
It's like war on drugs.
Yeah, but there's corruption with especially like the white police and like the shit that they pull over, black officers and stuff. But mm-hmm. I'm trying to stay away from like cop-centric shows from now on.
After you finish binging The Wire.
After I finish binging The Wire. But I'm trying.
Just got to get through these 6 seasons of this show, and then I'm going to stay away, I swear.
I am. No, but I'm like, I don't know. After Polly Perrette, never mind. I'm just like, I just want to stay away from like all those like quirky cops.
I just want to let you know that I'm giving up NCIS and CSI.
Well, I never even watched it.
No,
I never watched it.
I'm just teasing.
Just those shows where they're like, we're like Polly Perrette's like a cool, like pigtail, cool cop. You know, all the like the cool cop. It's like, shut up.
No, I've never. I'm sorry. You have a deep think to do if you're like a CSI head or an NCIS head. Like, you need to get a therapist and talk about why you have such horrible taste in entertainment. I actually want you, if you're an NCIS or CSI head, you need to make an I Take Responsibility black and white video for your CIS and NCIS love. And you need to come clean.
That video.
Oof. That video was wild.
Because I didn't watch Breaking Bad. Sorry. Didn't watch it, but I watched the
final.
I watched the final episode. That was the only one I watched.
God, you're a fucking iconoclast.
I'm wild.
You're fucking going against the grain in so many ways.
Laura literally pushed her chair almost to the door of the room she's podcasting in. And she's like so space. Far away from me right now.
I had to take space. Wow.
You're sitting.
What if I just we podcast like this? It's almost like we're back how far we used to sit. Yeah. It's like a 6 feet away.
Is that crazy that I did that? It's kind of crazy.
It's fucking insane, but I love it.
I'm sorry.
Did you get what was going on?
Yeah. I knew like kind of like what the gist. I knew what the gist was. I knew that. Yeah, I knew things were happening. I
fast forward to the end.
Whatever. Everyone was watching
the finale.
Fucking watch the finale. I feel like, you know, I'm a TV writer. Well, I'm an unemployed TV writer right now, but I should watch, like, I feel like guilty even saying like I didn't watch like Breaking Bad. But anyway, what I'm saying is I forgot what Aaron Paul's name was when he was in the video, and I was like, who the fuck's that? And then I was like, oh, that guy from Breaking Bad. Well, for a second I thought it was Ben Foster, which I was like, what?
And then I thought he was Australian.
Yeah. Anyway, I was like, oh yeah, I literally didn't know his name.
Oh, I knew it. I knew him.
Well, I assumed you knew, but I was just like, and then Bryce Dallas Howard's that? Her in unhinged moment in that.
Everyone was truly coming from a place of nunca in that whole video. They all need to just stop. No one asked for this. No one asked you to do this video. And like, you're also, what shocked me, I'm like, like Stanley Tucci, who I fucking love, but him being like, I will no longer let these racist jokes and statements fly. I was like, how many racist jokes are you hearing on a day-to-day basis? Like, yeah. I too will not let those jokes fly, but like, it sounds as though you are subject to a lot of them. Like, just like, what?
And I was like, is Bryce Dallas Howard's favorite pastime excusing police murder and brutality? Apparently, yeah, I was
like, okay.
That's like, I just was imagining like, what else? I posted something and Drew Drogi tweeted like, what else is she going to talk about? As if it's the only thing she talks about, excusing. I was like, this is just
noted police apologist Bryce Dallas Howard. Every set she's been on, like, she plagued everyone on the set of like Jurassic World with like fat pro police facts.
Oh my god! Apparently,
Chris Pratt probably.
Oh yeah, fuck. Where's he been? Has he posted anything? Let me look. Chris Pratt. I didn't realize Katherine Schwarzenegger was pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, I mean, we all know that Chris Pratt is like secretly.
We all know that he's an agent of Satan.
I'm sure that he is a fan of police. So that's just what I think. But prove me wrong.
Yeah. Change my mind.
But I just wanted to say really fast that Jurassic Park apparently started filming again, Jurassic World, and they're like giving out
Jurassic
hand
World
sanitizer.
2? Is it the second? There's been a second Jurassic World.
The third. It has Laura Dern, Sam Neill, and Jeff Goldblum. The original.
We love to see it. Was the second Jurassic World good?
Oh, it was horrific.
Yeah. The first one I liked, I think I should rewatch it, because I was entertained. By the end, I was like, hell yes. The final scenes, which we've, I think, discussed before, but like, I was here for it.
What final scenes?
Of like when the sea creature, all the pterodactyls getting released, and then like the sea creature eating the like.
Oh yeah, when I was like nearly canceled by this woman, or no, when I was nearly canceled for saying that woman who gets picked. I jokingly said the woman who gets
like
picked up and
torn apart
over by
deserved
pterodactyls and then dropped into the mouth of a sea monster was somehow deserving of it. I was clearly kidding.
I love
and all these JP fans.
Twitter police came for you and tried to cancel you, but you rose above and ascended. You escaped cancellation once again by the skin of your teeth.
But it was all like Jurassic Park, like the real, like, Jurassic Park stands were coming to me being like, you're what's wrong. Like, of course, like, these movies, these later movies, like, the purest Jurassic, like, they praise this kind of, and I was like, oh my God, I'm kidding. And then I wrote an apology.
Oh yeah, I remember your apology. Wait, speaking of other agents of Satan, Stassi is literally wasting no time making a comeback.
Stassi's pregnant.
Okay, so Stassi...
Did you talk about this on the other pod?
Yeah, we spoke on it a little bit, but I have not talked about the pregnancy at all yet.
Oh my God.
So Stassi and Kristen, I guess, both hired like a crisis PR, put the PR firm, Stassi put it in her bio. I don't know what Kristen did. I'm like, Kristen, I think, needs to realize that there's no PR that can bring her back from the bottomless pit into which she's falling. Like, it's right. Done. I think she's done. Stassi, on the other hand, is actively refusing to let her celebrity slide. Right. And has hired the PR firm that represented Lindsay Lohan at her peak, like, wild Lindsay days. I remember Steve Honig. I remember him, like, being her PR representative, like, back in the day.
When she was on top.
When she was on top and just, like, crashing her car into every tree that she saw. And, like, scrambling out like a wild animal with bad coke in tow. Like, truly just, like, DUIing all over the fucking place.
Literally running into a bush.
Literally, like, running into a bush to hide, like, a feral muskrat. And so Steve Honig was her rep. And so I was like, oh, it's interesting to see his name back in the mix with, like, another, like celeb on the down and out. So they wasted no time getting to work, like posting like paparazzi pics of Stassi and Bo, and then announcing Stassi's pregnancy on Saturday. And I'm just like, the level of like fame whore thirst is more real than I ever actually knew it was.
I'm gonna ask the question.
Yeah.
Do you think she's really pregnant?
Yeah, I do. I'm really curious to know how far along she is, because she was talking about drinking rosé on the reunion, which filmed like mere weeks ago. So it's either she was lying about that and she's been pregnant for like 3 months and then is now like revealing, or she literally found out like a week ago and then was like, oh, good news is I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Either way.
Also, she stepped out and wasn't wearing a mask, of course.
Yeah. I think they put one on, like, I don't know where they were going. It looked like that horrible restaurant, like Salar de Cahuenga, that they always went to on Vanderpump Rules. And I was like, God, nothing will keep these people away from just like a shitty restaurant.
I know.
But I don't know if that was the place.
Yeah, that's pretty wild that they're just like, I mean, Stassi's mom apparently called Bravo.
Yeah.
And her, like, emotional plea to, like, rehire her.
Humiliating. I would kill my parents if they did that to me.
That's like when Audrina Partridge's mom was wasted. Like, my daughter is a star.
Adrina's a star. Outside of Beso. R.I.P.
Also, I want to talk about this really fast. Oh, keep going.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I have, like, a whole conspiracy theory about, like, Stassi comeback. So, the first story that dropped about her in the tabloids was, like, Stassi's net worth is a lot higher than you might think. And then it was, like, this whole article about how she's, like, worth $2 million or something. And then the next thing was her and Bo, like, stepping out. And the next thing was they're pregnant. I think that Stassi is, I don't think that that's her net worth. I think that that's like a planted story to then contextualize every fame whore thing that she's going to do from here on out, being like, oh, she didn't need that job anyways, or she doesn't need money. Like, she's fine. Because I think her and Bo are angling to get another show on another network. And that's the whole reason that they're doing this like pregnancy reveal, is to like take the temperature of other places that would hire them to like do a show.
You're probably right.
Or
you don't think she's worth that much?
I mean, I think that she probably has money in the bank, but like she also has like an almost $2 million house that she has to pay for. She has no more income from Vanderpump Rules. Her fucking tour is canceled.
Yeah.
Like,
all her sponsors are gone.
All her sponsors are gone. Her podcast is gone. Like, that bitch needs a way to make money. Like, and I think that now is the basically like they're trying to appeal to baby company, like potential baby sponsors, people that would pay for SponCon on her Instagram when she starts Instagramming again. Like, they need money. So this is like, this is basically being like, who's ready to pay us? And also, they're probably getting paid. They probably get a chunk of whatever photos of them are being published. Like, I'm sure they're brokering deals with certain paparazzi or back end deals to like publish pictures here and there. Like, getting a deal, maybe like trying to broker a deal for some sort of sit down interview. Like, this is now a new hustle of just like premium money thirst and the inability to like bow out, like let the celebrity slip. It's just like, it truly, the lack of like waste of time of it all. I'm just like, you really I think have to be shameless to be a celebrity these days.
Yeah, especially in this, in that realm. Yeah, I think Stassi, I could see them like TLC doing something with them or something.
Yeah, or like Oxygen or like
That's a really, I think that's probably really accurate. I think that I think Bo is a fame whore. I think they both really want to be famous. And
they really want to be famous and they need to pay for their lifestyle. Like they were going to get like they were going to have a wedding that would probably be paid for in by Bravo and like also have like all this free shit. Like Jessica Mulroney was styling Stassi for her wedding, which that is a true Venn diagram, the white supremacy Venn diagram of the fucking decade.
Well, speaking of Jessica Mulroney, Sasha Exeter, who is a model influencer, I believe, in Canada, she's a black woman, and I think she basically called out like Canadian influencers, white influencers, on their inactivity during, you know, the last month or so, and not doing enough and just being like kind of front. And she called out Jessica Mulroney, who, if you don't know, is Duchess Meghan's best friend. And she is like she hosts like a Canadian, like Say Yes to the Dress kind of show. Like they redo weddings. She's also married to the son of the former Prime Minister of Canada. And she kind of helped Meghan. She like introduced Meghan to Canadian society, basically, which is like an access to the London aristocracy or England, UK aristocracy. The Londoner, like London's the country. So she's, you know, and she's definitely like benefited from her friendship, I think, with Meghan, especially in the last like 2 years. But
Sasha had shows on television and was like a correspondent for news.
Yeah. But of course, Stassi would like, of course, Stassi would go for her. So now Jessica got blasted because she apparently like apologize for not being enough of an ally, blah blah blah. I have a lot of, and then like message Sasha like terrorizing her about like suing her and being like,
yeah, this is what you do, like, when you sue her for libel or something like that.
She spelled libel wrong, and she said like, this is what happens when you go after like a white privileged person or something, like just completely racist shit and like insane.
Yeah, racist and also like classist and like
totally classist,
like a psychotic wealthy person.
So she, but it's just ironic that she was affiliated with Stassi, because of course Stassi would be like, I want her to do my wedding.
Yeah,
and because Stassi's like obsessed with like so much the royals.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, you should read Lainey Gossip just did a great post about the Jessica Mulroney Sasha Exeter situation. It's really interesting. But
I didn't realize.
But she,
it took me a minute to like figure out what had happened, because I feel like there was no like timeline. Like, I don't understand what the inciting incident was. Like, was literally just, like, Sasha just being like, it's interesting that all these people have been silent during all of this. And then she
I think she was just calling out like people in the entertainment business in Canada.
And so then she, and then Jessica Maroney, like, an apology. And so public facing, she was like, I'm sorry, like, you're right, like, peace, love, unity, respect. And then behind the scenes, she was like, I'm gonna fucking sue you. What a psycho.
Like, going full Karen, like, just being horrible and like terrorizing this woman.
Yeah.
And she lost her show. She lost all her deals. And I'm sure Megan's probably distancing herself from her.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm sure. I mean, I read on the Daily Mail that, like, Megan was, like, trying to put distance between her and the... or, like, rethinking the friendship or something like that. But, like, yeah, it's... yeah.
But Stassi is... I mean, like you said, Bo must be, like... Well, you know what? I'm sorry. I don't, Bo, he knew who Stassi was, and he went along with it.
Yeah. I mean,
he's shitty too.
He knows what he's getting into as far as, like, yeah, who this person is and what they stand for. And, like, it's just like, wow. Like, the, like, they have no shame.
No shame. Also, apparently Stassi's in, there was like a deleted Instagram or a deleted podcast episode where she claimed that Lala pulled a knife on Faith.
Oh, I guess. I don't know about that. But
because apparently Lala is the only cast member who's reached out to Faith.
And Kristen reached out to her too.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. Well, they were all under gag orders, so I don't think they could say anything off the bat, and they weren't allowed to reach out to anyone. Like, they were literally not allowed to speak to anyone or say anything about what was going on.
Kristen went rogue.
As Dodie is wont to do. I love a rogue Dodie.
Mm.
I'm ready for her to burn it the fuck down.
Yeah. Don't love what she did, but...
No, don't love what she did. And actions have consequences. And, like, they are now experiencing the consequences of their actions.
I could see Dodie going full psycho and just, like, destroying the entire,
like,
network.
A full Bravo takedown. What if Dodie took out NBC Universal, like, entirety of NBC Universal was, like, shuttered and canceled thanks to one Kristen Dodie?
Well, okay, but, you know, you have to...
Kristen Dodie will go to Universal Studios and light it on fire, and it would be, it would just be Road to Sur part two. Yeah.
But if you go to... Yeah, 100 years later... but if you go, if you start in Vanderpump Rules, you have to go, like, if they're going to commit to this, they have, there's so many other cases of that.
Yeah.
Of racism on these shows. So they have to go full force if they're going to do this. They can't just, you know what I mean? And there's so many examples of it. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already talked about it, but, like, my God. So.
Sadly, I don't think anything else is going to happen. Like, I don't think anything, like, unexpected. I feel like this was the way that Bravo was like, we'll get everyone off our backs by doing this, like, wild move. And then it kind of deflects from a much larger problem.
Right.
But we'll see.
Right.
Right.
Speaking of nightmares, should we get into...
Yeah.
Tough Sicilian bitches.
Tough Sicilian bitches, Ron J. This episode darked me out.
Yeah, this episode was, like, kind of boring, but a lot was happening underneath the seemingly boring veneer.
Weirdly, I thought it was, like, I thought it was one of the more exciting episodes of the season because there was so much happening. Like, there was a lot of, like, read between the lines and, like...
Yeah, maybe I just was, like, watching it.
But it is like a Christmas, like on its face, it's like, oh, the Christmas episode. But then when you really start to think about it, you're like,
there's a lot of darkness.
Insane. It's darkness from every fucking angle. I would say, I would venture to say the only people who aren't dark are Rich and Kathy.
Yeah, they're, I want to be at their place on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. And Christmas Day.
Oh.
Oh.
I just want to say right off the bat, I could smell the coffee, like booze hangover breath that everyone has on Christmas Day. Well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like coming out of my computer screen.
Yeah, it's like the post post like mulled wine.
Mm-hmm.
Post eggnog, you have a headache. Oof. I don't think I've been hungover on Christmas Day. Thank God. That would send me over the edge.
Oh, my God.
I don't want it.
It's not good.
I truly, like, don't ever want to be hungover again. I got hungover maybe twice during quarantine, and it both were experience. Like, it was very medium, small, medium-sized hangovers, but even that was, like, enough to make me want to throw myself off a bridge. Like, I can't actually handle a hangover.
I don't, yeah, I mean, Joe Giudice's hangover in this episode is like it's scalding, but I but I was thinking, like, wow, I don't know how. I mean, the hangovers I had were, I was just in a hangover for like 4 years basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't know how. I don't know how I did. I don't know how she does it.
How
starring
does she
Sarah
do
Jessica it? Parker and me.
You hungover for 4 years.
Hungover.
4 year epic.
Oh, getting like a, oh my God, I can't. But, so we start off at the Judice. Well,
it's
what happened?
Christmas, it's Christmas Eve. It also is weird that people are all being filmed on Christmas, which feels like it should not be a filmed for TV kind of like holiday.
Do you think it was actually Christmas Eve or like the day before?
Hard to say.
I think it was actually Christmas.
I think it was actually Christmas too.
I think
everyone was like, we're gonna film, it's Christmas Eve, we're doing this.
So we come up where we left off. The Gorgas are at the Giudices. It's awkward. They don't really feel like they want them there, and Joe Giudice is being really unfriendly, and his brother-in-law and sister being unfriendly, and the parents kind of told Joey Gorga that they don't even need to come. Like, they basically were like, don't come, we don't want you, but they came anyway. The kids are all really happy to see each other. Joe's making kind of snide comments about Melissa, like
Joe's being
from
insane.
Like 4 feet away. Joe's blackout.
She's a witch. And then
she's a witch, that one.
Joe Gorga he has to leave because they're gonna go to Kathy and Rich's. And
who usually go to the Giudices on Christmas Eve, but not this year.
And Tree starts to act crazy to Joe Gorga for deciding he's going to Kathy's, and she like tries to guilt him. She kind of gets like a little bit angry. She like is pulling out all the like crazy sister stops on him.
She pulls him into the other room. She goes, come here.
I want to show you something.
Which I was like, where's this going?
It got weirdly sexual for a little bit. Like, it was like, there were so many layers and manipulations that Tree was trying to pull with him.
Teresa brings him to her, like, bordello dining room, and she's like, look, I got two places for you and Melissa. She's like, you gonna go or are you gonna stay? And he's like, look, Tree, I told him I'd come. And she's like, well, she was a good cousin. She would have said, stay with your sister. And then she says in her interview, she goes, I mean, Kathy's kind of evil, right?
She's like, she's a bitch, right? And it's like,
kind of evil.
I mean,
who are you asking?
Literally, you were feuding with your brother. You literally brawled at a christening. And so I'm sure Kathy was just like, if you don't feel comfortable being in the place of brawl, you can always come to my chill Christmas.
Yeah.
Tree goes, like,
Tree goes, she goes, look, I'm trying to do my best here. She goes, I'm concentrating with you and Melissa. I'm like,
concentrating. What? Tree's in Momo. She's gone. She's on the edge. Wow, girl. You gonna go?
"You gonna go now?" And he's like, "Tree, I'm gonna go."
He's Melissa's also, running like, around. So little brother in that moment. Like, you really saw, like, the big sis little bro energy that they bring to interactions with each other.
I know.
And then we also running around getting the kids. And then at one point, like, Tree and Joe's dad is like, "I'm going to come over. I want to eat with you." And then he's like, "I tried to come over 3 times and then you're not there." And Melissa's like, "You got to call me on the phone. Like, when I'm not home, you just got to call." And he goes, "Don't use the phone." So he just doesn't use phones. I was like, "Okay, old man."
Yeah, he's like, "I just show up at your house and you're never..." And Melissa's like, "Okay, like, can you... We have children, they have school. Like, can you just tell us when
just
you're coming?"
"Call me." Yeah. "I don't use the phone."
"I don't use the phone. I use a tomato."
"I use a tomato. I come over and ask the tomato, is she home? And the tomato says, see. And so I go over there and they're not, there."
There's just a big tomato sitting on their front stoop who's just like this.
Did the dad, Gorga.
No.
He turns to a huge tomato that's just sitting in his, like, living room that follows him around everyone. He goes, "Hey, Pomodoro, is Melissa home, a casa?" And he goes, "Si." And then, and then Gio's like, "All right, ciao." And then goes over, and then Melissa's not home, and he's like,
"Pomodoro."
Pomodoro lied to me again.
And you just go back and Pomodoro's going,
"I fool you." And then goes,
"Oh, I fool you again.
I fool you again." And he goes, Pomodoro, I'll punch you.
"One of these days, Pomodoro, I'm going to grind you up and make you into a red sauce.
And make Pomodoro's a tomato going, paste out of you."
And then he like rolls away like BB-8 in Star Wars.
"One day I make a tomato sauce out of you, Pomodoro. Roll away, Pomodoro."
I turn you right into a paste. "All right, ciao." And then Pomodoro goes... Pomodoro is just always rolling around Gio's house.
The magic tomato who just lives with Nono and Nona.
Who feeds Nono and Nona just total misinformation.
Yeah.
It's that mischievous Pomodoro again.
Every Italian family has a tomato who lives in the house. And you ask it things and it tell you.
And everything it says is a lie, but I trust a Pomodoro. Someday it tell me the truth.
"Oh, Pomodoro, get out of here."
Hey, Pomodoro. Pomodoro's like... He goes, "Hey, you should go over to Melissa's casa, eh? She is home. I'm waiting for you." And he goes, "All right, take it in the car. Ciao." And then goes over and he's, Pomodoro lied to me again. God.
Again,
basta. Enough, Pomodoro. Enough.
Bastardo.
When will the lies stop? And Pomodoro goes, "No say."
Then we get to the Manzos. They're having their giant Lurita Manzo festival.
Dinner. Festival of food. And
they come in and Caroline goes, she goes, "Okay, now we need to get all this pasta out there." And then Lauren goes, "The girls will serve." And I was like,
"The girls will serve."
I was like, "Oh." Then Uncle Louis sits up and he goes, "We got a great family." And then you cut to Jacqueline's face and Jacqueline goes, Jacqueline, I don't know if it was the editing, but Jacqueline makes his face like, "Bro,
are they that great?" Jacqueline just has to go with the flow with the Manzos. Oh, yeah. She's in
Manzo
go with the flow mode. It's in Manzo mode because there's no other.
Because when you're with the Manzos, it's all about the Manzos. Yeah. You gotta just go with it. Then we cut back to the Judices, and Antonia and Melania are like holding on to each other and don't want to leave.
And Antonia's wearing have to leave. Red.
Antonia is so pissed.
She's furious. Tree's never been happier. She can't wait to like use Joe and Melissa's kids against them. She goes, look at Antonia. She doesn't want to leave. She's sad. She's sad. She don't want to leave.
And then their baby just is like rolling around.
Baby Joey roll. The Pomodoro runs by kicking baby Joey like a soccer ball. Baby Joey is truly baby's day out. Remember that movie where that baby was like climbing on a skyscraper, like literally on the precipice of a violent death? That's baby Joey.
And like wreaks havoc wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm.
And Cynthia Nixon inexplicably plays his nanny.
She does?
Yeah. And Laura Flynn Boyle plays his mom.
Wow. Epic casting. Wow. That's a wow for me. I miss Laura Flynn Boyle.
Me too.
Fellow Lara. Yeah.
Then
back at Caroline's, they continue to like gaslight small children.
Oh, well, first I wanted to say Gia's is so codependent with Joe Gorga.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like sad. Like she clearly he's like the only like father figure that gives her like real affection and like nurturing love.
Yeah.
She like clamps onto him and like won't let him go, and he has to like carry her outside.
She loves him.
Because her dad's just sitting there like,
bleh. Her dad is literally a lump.
He's a dick.
He's a dick, and he's divisive and tries to like, he does not want to make things more peaceful for the family.
No, and he's a drunk.
He's a drunk jerk. Always with the crying, this one, we said last time.
Always with the crying. And then he closes the big... Then Teresa closes the giant gates of hell by Rodin.
And she's smiling. Like, you see her hand, and then she's, like, smiling as they close. And I was like, she's closed the doors to her house of horrors and locked everyone in for the Christmas of a lifetime. A blood feast of Christmas.
Merry Christmas. CJ breaks my heart at the Manzos.
I know. I don't like fooling
children.
He's
the lost child.
Yeah. I feel it's wrong to fool them. If they see the truth, you should tell them what the truth is.
I thought it was cute.
I don't, like, something is weird.
Maybe
I'm being a tattletale about this, but I'm also just like...
You're being very Montessori right now.
I'm so Montessori, but I'm like, if a child sees something, I'm ready to honor what the child sees and then be like, yeah.
Oh, see, I thought it was like, because I think the Manzos, the one thing they get, I think they really get CJ from just watching this whole series. And I think they know, like, CJ's in the middle of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think he's kind of the lost child that everyone kind of worries about. Not everyone worries about, but everyone's kind of like, oh, poor CJ. Like, because he has Ashley as his sister. And then
baby
Nicholas has
the
problem.
Kids to hang out with, like, in the family.
Yeah. So I thought the older cousins were like trying to make it about him and like be sweet, and I thought that was like seeing Chris and Albie like run around with bells. I was like, that's cute. Maybe I'm like a dupe, but I just thought it was like,
no, that's probably, it is like more family oriented and like sweet natured. I guess I'm just against forcing kids to believe in Santa Claus. If they don't want to believe anymore, like, I'm even kind of against Santa Claus. I'll say.
Wow. No, Santa Claus is terrifying.
Like, why would you normalize that someone, like, old white guy is going to break into your house in the middle of the night?
It's strange, and it's definitely like a...
I would say this is a legend, a silly legend. Really, mommy gets you the gift.
But it's sweet.
Mm.
I'm going to be, like, this year, I was with my nephew for the first time on Christmas, and we gave him a little bell. He was ringing it, and I was like, Santa's coming. Like, I was just going, like, and he was like one and a half, but he was like...
Yeah, I mean, like, through the child's eyes, I'm sure, like, I will heavily participate in Santa lies, but from my childless throne, my single childless throne, I like to say that you all are horrible for doing this to young, innocent children. then I shall not partake in the lies and gaslighting of our nation's most vulnerable, the children.
Yeah.
The children were screaming.
And the children were screaming. And the children were screaming. And the children were screaming.
Oh my God, that part was horrifying.
I have full body hook chills.
And she's like, I came up, the window was open, and I tried to get in, but I could, and the children were screaming. We know, everyone, that's from Hook, if you don't know.
Yeah, that's from Hook. Real heads know. Real Hook heads know.
Oh my God.
When Maggie Smith,
when like the wind comes in to their like benefit where everyone's clapping, and Maggie Smith like
she knows clutches her cane, not right.
She knows
she must get home because her children are literally going to be abducted. Her grandchildren
from
are abducted from their beds.
Santa Claus is going to abduct us.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The Gorga's head. They head to Kathy's.
Melissa's in like a little mink.
Yeah.
Little mink coat.
Melissa's dressed up like she's about to go to the club, which I love. Like,
Me too.
Her Christmas Eve energy is like way more like glam than I give to Christmas Eve.
Teresa also looked like club ready.
Yeah. And then Teresa, remember she tried to shame Melissa for dressing like that?
Yeah.
She was like, when Melissa came in, she's like, really showing a lot of skin when she's also wearing like a mini skirt. And then she tried to like temper it by being like, but I cover up top and just show it. It's like, Teresa, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. She's jealous.
Kathy's getting lit. She's has like a margarita and then she starts singing. Yeah. She goes, Patron on ice. I was living Rosie? For Kathy's like Patron on ice moment. And then Rosie.
Rosie's in a in this amazing white Oxford cloth shirt, just like living her truth.
God, her hair looks so good.
It did look. Rosie looked so good, like beautiful in this scene.
Rosie looked stunning. I was ready to Dale.
I think Rosie and Kathy definitely got the good genes in the.
Yeah.
But they're doing their seven fishes. And then Melissa and Joe walk in, and then Richie takes Joe over to the giant dead sea bass that literally looks like Paimon. And he goes, you see that? I caught it today.
Look, like, it's a sea bass. It was literally Paimon himself in sea bass form, a fried, huge, mouth open, in the scream of death sea bass. I did not know that sea bass were that big. I thought sea bass were like 11 inches max.
Same. You see that? I caught it.
Look, it's a and sea then, bass. It's from the brownstone.
Melissa says that Albert, every year, it's a tradition that he gives the Wakilis a giant sea bass. Because I guess Albert is like close with them.
Yeah, they work together. Or they're in business together. I didn't realize until...
Because Caroline acts like she's like, I don't... Ugh, Karen, she's like, I don't know that woman. And it's like, no, your husband knows them. So I think
why does she act like they're strangers to each other?
It's really weird.
She acts like she's never met her before like this season of Jersey.
You know those kind of people.
I don't like that.
I don't either.
Caroline.
Me neither. Then we cut back to the Manzos. Joe Gorga. Caroline goes, Joe Gorga is so full of life. He reminds me of Christopher.
The Brownstone is going to host New Year's Eve. And Chris and Albie have already invited Joe and Melissa. Joe and Melissa are a huge hit with the Manzos. Caroline goes, you know, I love me some Joe. And I thought she was talking about Giudice, but then she was talking about Gorgs.
And Jacqueline was like, well, I think we should, you know, just, we have to be mindful that it's still kind of tenuous. The stability is still tenuous between the Gorgas and the Giudices. And then Caroline goes, that's what New Year's about. New Year, 2011. I was 2011. Like, 2011.
Were we ever so young? 2011.
I was watching this and I was like, they have no idea about COVID.
No, that's exactly what I thought. I was like, we were all so innocent then.
I know.
We all lived in a world where like COVID wasn't a thing. No one even had an inkling. You would get to live 9 more years before COVID would take over and change everyone's lives forever. And the Manzos have to invite the Wakilis as well.
Caroline goes, if we don't invite the Wakilis, Albert will have my neck. I was like, Jesus. And then Chris Laurita goes, he's like drunk. Chris Laurita, he goes, invite the Wakilis, whatever their name is. I was like, so mean.
Yeah.
They're so mean to Rich and Kathy.
Their names are Kathy and Rich. And they're very nice people.
I don't know who these people are. That's like, okay, I'm going to say something. Did you ever go to someone's house and like their parents? This is going to be like the family friend thing that I don't know if I can articulate it, but I'm going to try.
I feel you like go I to know like someone's house and I'm open to hearing.
You feel like you go to your someone's house and like it's like one of the first times you're there and you're kind of like and they have like parents who walk in and they're like, who's this? Or like they're just like, I don't know who that is, or like, you know what I mean? Like they're just like, and you're just like, fuck you. Like, you just want to be like, clearly I'm their friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, has ever happened to you?
Yeah, they don't act like excited to see you or just like kind.
Yeah, they're like,
and welcoming. Who is this?
Yeah, who's this?
But also,
that
like,
happened to me.
As a parent, it's like you have to. You have to host so many children at your house, like all the time, and like feed
them. Yeah,
that's
true.
Like, I'm sure that eventually, someday, if I ever have a kid, I'm going to give big who's this energy to, like, one of their friends at some time. Because I'm just going to be like, why are you bringing another mouth into this household? Like, I have to, like, now buy way more chicken nuggets.
No, totally. I'm sure
but
it's...
But as a child, you don't ever want to be who's this. I don't want to be like that who's this in real life anyways. Happens a lot more when you're an adult.
I remember one of the... Friends' being cold is I remember one time I was in a carpool and I stepped on someone's leather interior because there were like 12 of us piled into a car. And the dad went, get off the leather!
Oh no, I hate like, that.
Get off!
That's hey, awful.
Get off that!
I had one friend's mom I went over to like have a sleepover and then like hang out, and I feel like we were all shopping somewhere, and she tried to like joke with me, but like she did like a stern look and like a joke, like I'd said the wrong thing, and I truly like I froze. I was like, yeah! And then she was like, I'm just kidding. But then I was traumatized after that because I'd never had someone be like jokingly mean to me, like a parent.
Oh my god.
It's also crazy to think about, like my friend's parents were probably around my age when we started doing, like, sleepovers.
Yeah. I mean, my mom had me when she was 30.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I started doing sleepovers when I was, like, 7. So, yeah, she was, like, 37.
Damn. Well, not me.
I'm 31. I haven't had a kid.
All the huge houses made me feel so cozy to see on Christmas and Christmas Eve, lit. Except for Tree's House of Sin.
The Manzo's house looked really pretty.
It looked really pretty. And even the Wakili's, like, the Manzo's house made me feel extra cozy. Like, I just want to be in, like, a huge cozy house on Christmas.
And, like, the front lights, like, on the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very New Jersey Christmas.
Yeah.
Caroline
gives her kids their hideous bracelets.
Lauren's, like, looks, like, nervous. Like, as she's opening, I'm like, do you think it's going to be, like, an engagement ring?
They ask her to marry them, marry Vito, instead of Vito asking.
Yeah. They'll start crying.
Chris, I think, hate those bracelets.
Oh, they totally hate them.
Their faces were like, ugh. And those bracelets are so ugly. Like, I actually can't.
Lauren wipes one tear away.
You all aren't emotional enough. I think she actually really likes them.
Oh, she loved it. And Caroline was like, people might say it's kind of corny that you're all wearing the same bracelet. And I say, I don't care what you think.
Cool. Awesome, cool. Caroline.
The next morning, we go to the Loretta's house, and I just wrote, Ashley deserves Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley's she didn't get her horrendous. Parents
anything for Christmas.
And she goes, I know, that sounds kind of bad, but like, whatever.
I spent a lot of money on my car, so... Like, what are you talking about? Not even
you didn't
a
spend
card.
Any money.
Not even a card.
She...
Like, parents... And I
flowers
been, like anything literally as if you gave them a card they'd be happy.
Jacqueline was like, she can make me a photo album.
I love it's like bare minimum, you can like frame a photo and then give it to your parents, and it's like a thoughtful gift.
Ashley's the worst.
What is that device that Ashley's filming with? I had one of those.
Oh, it was like one of those like old like
It was like a video camera, like a mini video camera.
I had that too. My parents got it for me because they were like, we want you to make movies. And I was like, okay. And I never used it.
Yeah, it was like, it sucked. It was so, the screen is so tiny. I remember, I think I got one of those when I went to like an internship in college, and like they gave us one.
Yeah.
It really took 2011. Me back. This is
2010 was wild.
2011 was like, wow.
That's like when I remember when I got a DVD, portable DVD player, and I watched 28 Days Later on it. Or I got it on Christmas.
Huge in like 2003.
Yeah.
To think that there was never a time where we could like video things on our phone is just like, I don't even remember that part of life. Like, I feel like I've just always had a phone with a video.
I know. No one has a better Christmas than Melissa Gorga.
Dude, their Christmas is truly lit.
She's in a sexy Santa, Mrs. Claus robe. And at one point, she finds a gold Rolex hanging on a branch of a Christmas tree.
She, first of all, they set up all, I love, at Christmas time, if you're gonna lie to your kids and deceive them about Santa Claus, you better set up all the presents already. They need to be out of the box, all set up, under the tree, like ready to rock. You know what I mean? And so the Gorgas or someone on there did that on their behalf. And so it's like a pretty, it's like the most beautiful scene to walk downstairs to. The lighting's perfect. Melissa's like hot and she gets shoes, a Louis Vuitton suitcase, and then her gold Rolex in a tree.
And all while you hear this, you hear music. And it's just like this manic moment of like just excess.
I love seeing hot women and women in general just get lavished with gifts. Like we deserve these gifts. And like I love just like the husband, like I love like the husband giving the little wife like a bunch of exotic, luxurious gifts. Like, that is a trope to me that never gets old.
And Melissa goes, wow, I must have been really good this year.
And, like, hops on him and, like, straddles him. I was like, I would love to just, like LARP as that, like, role play in that vibe.
Role play for a Rolex.
Role play for a Rolex. Like, I'm ready to get, like, fully jewelry. I'm ready for a Rolex. I'll say it.
Yeah, that's a level of, and just hanging, blithely hanging from a Christmas tree.
Just being like on a branch. Rolex on the branch of a tree.
Yeah, you look over there.
There's one more present for you. I just love being like, and like also just the blithe, like there's something about just like the unawareness of just like Melissa's whole vibe is like, she expects nothing, but then gets everything. And even if that, and I think that that's definitely put on and like hammed up for the cameras, but for it just is like, I love to see it.
And then we cut over to their sad relatives.
Ooh.
Joe Giudice is in a full soaking wine coma. He's like literally a grape, just like on the bed, just suck like a prune just soaking in the bed. His eyes are like swollen shut. And then all the girls come jumping in their adorable matching pajamas and they all jump on him and you just hear Joe go, get out of here.
I just wrote their Christmas Teresa, makes me sad.
It was sad. Teresa goes, girls, we can't open presents without daddy, so you gotta wake him up. And they're all, and then Gia's like, he's not gonna wake up, mom.
He's gonna, and he's just forever. Laying,
and he goes, fine, I'll come down. Oh. We cut to him shirtless, still swollen shut, holding, laying horizontal on this like really uncomfortable looking like faux antique, maybe antique couch, holding up a camcorder over it. He's not even looking at the scene.
He's just pointing it at them.
Like he has a periscope, but he's not even looking into it. He's just laying there lifeless. And you can just feel like the cold vastness of the house, like hardening his tits.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just flopped on the couch.
There's no cheer. There's no cheer.
There's no cheer. It's sad.
It's so sad. And like,
Teresa's like, we ramped it back this year. I'm like, did you?
Did you? Because I still see like Melania, a lot of stuff.
Got Melania mini Mercedes that she can drive in.
They also didn't even set up the gifts. They did such like a, I mean, who knows what busy things they had to do. They did host a lot of people, but I'm also like, it doesn't take that much time to like just set up the gifts. You know what I mean? Like these girls, like your lack of enthusiasm and like, it's just like a really unfortunate Christmas for everyone.
Teresa gets Joe this like pretty scary looking crucifix, like rosary necklace.
Looked like fake. It looked like
like
a $20 necklace you'd buy like at Home Goods or something.
Yeah.
And then Joe gives
she gives him and he goes murp.
And then Joe gives Tree gloves and a wizard robe.
I said it. What's with the Hogwarts robe?
What was that robe? No. His pants are like almost down, like exposing his privates. At least put like a tank top on, Joe.
I know. He's so hungover that he can't have any. He's like,
he can't even move. And also it's like those poor girls, like you gave him a drum set. You like aren't going to even be able to set it up.
I know. And like, he, can you imagine how sad that is? Like, he can't even move because he's so hungover and it's all about him. Like, he's, and then Teresa looks so unhappy with her robe. It's like this plum colored, like velvet. It's
who
so
would
heinous.
Be happy with that robe. That is truly, where do you
there's so many,
wear that?
There's so many good robes you can get. Her
I
robe
didn't
looks
know
like
if it was a robe. I think it was a coat, like an outerwear, like that she
no.
would need to. Yes, I think it was outerwear.
Her, it looked like one of the tops of like the Kremlin building, or like not the Kremlin, like the St. Peter's Square, or you know the red square. That was like that, like those like classic Russian like plume things.
It's fucking Anastasia cosplay. Is this robe that Joe got her? And then he's so shitty, he goes, you want to go and return it? And then she's like, I only did that a few times.
And she's like, yeah, I am, bitch.
Yeah.
This is ugly. You got me gloves.
Those gloves? And she goes, I love them. It was like, one
gloves.
Year, I bought a guy that I was dating. I like went to Banana and like got him like a bunch of like shirts that were really nice that he liked. And then I was like, oh my God, like he'll get me something beautiful as well. Or like at least like kind of thoughtful. And he got me fucking fur. Like he got me these like fleece booties that you put in like the microwave to like warm up and then like wear on your feet. And I was just like, what the fuck? Is this like what actually is this gift? And then we got in a huge fight. That was a trap. Like I threw them away the next day. I was like, I went to fucking Banana and I got you like all these shirts that I knew you loved and I cared so much. And you got me these fucking senior citizen nursing home microwavable booties for what? What in the fucking world?
In case you have to go to like the north passage.
In case I'm like my circulation gets so poor that I need something to like quickly warm my feet up. Like you, it's not like you can wear them around. You, it's not even like socks that you wear around. You have to literally be like sitting with your feet up and then put them on. And then if you want to stand, you have to take them off and like go about your day. I was like, what? Why would you ever think that I would want these? And I
what did he say?
I don't know. I just knew that he had like found, like I knew it was like a throwaway present or like that he just saw them at like a random, it was like, I knew that he didn't care. I would have rather gotten no present than have gotten that present. And it told me everything I needed to know. And I was like, Banana. Everything you see here is from fucking Banana. And you
everything
me,
here is from fucking Banana Republic.
Everything here is from fucking Banana. And like, you then got me these booties, and then I just like ran outside the restaurant like crying.
Did you break up?
We broke up pretty shortly after that. It was our last Christmas as a couple.
The Hogwarts robe is totally the booties.
It is a full booty energy.
Kathy gets Rich a wedding. Apparently, Rich lost his wedding band and wasn't wearing one for like years. So Kathy made him, she got him one. And he goes, a wedding band makes me more attracted to women because it makes me a keeper.
He goes, yeah, that's what. And I was like, in this moment, I was like, Rich is hot. I was like,
They come off the best and most in love out of any of the couples.
I finally understood Rich in this episode, and then I was like, he's a one on the binary for me.
Yeah. I love what a little ham Joey Wakili is.
Their kids are like sweeties.
They are. They pull together their allowance to buy her a laptop for her, as Victoria says, your pastry and food catering ventures.
And they also like make a speech. They each make a speech beforehand, like read out like a heartfelt speech and then give their mother a laptop. I was like, hey, how much are you getting for your allowance?
Like, I know.
You can pool it and buy a laptop.
They must be pretty rich.
Yeah.
But
and everyone's touched. I was like, wow, these kids, like, they really raised two very, very sweet children.
Like, cut from Ashley being like, I don't get my parents fucking anything, to that. Like, I bet Jacqueline watched that and was like,
Jacqueline's like, God damn it. Ashley! She called Ashley to terrorize her.
Yeah. Caroline and Albert go for a little drive on Christmas Day because the boys are somewhere. I don't know. I guess they went back to Hoboken.
They're in Hoboken, yeah.
And Lauren's at Vito's. And so they're just driving around. Albert starts telling the story of how they got engaged, which apparently he'd like pulled over under an overpass and like,
and just asked her.
Pulled a ring out and was like, I want you to be my wife. But he never got down on one knee. So he stops his car, gets down on one knee in the same spot under the overpass, and asks Caroline. And Caroline goes, oh, you're so silly.
You're silly. I'm going to ask you what I asked back then. Is this real?
Is this real? And he goes, will you marry me? And she goes, yeah. Gives her a fucking boulder.
A stone.
The family stone.
Quite the stone. Again, women getting lavish gifts.
Right?
I love it. She deserves.
You love to see it.
I love to see it.
She does.
She goes.
It was kind of cute.
It was cute. I love that they got engaged in like a dirt road overpass where people have no doubt been whacked, but
yeah,
it's like a romantic spot for them.
My dad took me here as a kid.
My dad took me in when he first shot someone with a Tommy gun. Caroline was like, she goes, I was 92 pounds when me and Albert got engaged, and I'm not 92 pounds anymore. I outgrew my ring. And then she couldn't wear it. I was like, whoa. But he got it resized. Yeah, he put more jewels in it, and now the ring is back and bigger and better than ever.
Lots of, you know, this episode is recession proof because, as we know, at this time America was going through a pretty gnarly time.
Yeah.
And from that, from the Rolex to the new ring to the next thing we see of Gorga literally building Melissa like a state-of-the-art music studio in their basement. And Melissa's kind of like, thanks.
I love it. Yeah, they weren't hurting during this time.
Or at least on the outside.
Yeah.
Joe builds Melissa like a full-on studio. Melissa's just like, wow, I'm going to do this. And then she goes, yeah. And then And then
she goes, ooh, wicka, 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 wicka. Like, I feel like that's the only time she's even been in that studio is like,
I know,
when they filmed this, and maybe she recorded like one song, and then she's like, I'm gonna put crystals on the microphone. I wanted a crystal microphone. And I also love, like, I love getting a gift and then being like not totally happy with it. And then you need to voice that you're not exact. It's not exactly what you want. It was a nice try.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I wanted crystals on that. And then Joe's like, honey, I just built you this insane. She's like, whatever. And then he goes, I want to lock my wife away.
He goes, my wife wanted to go record. What I did, I built the studio so she thinks she's going outside. She's staying right here. I trapped her in this house. And I was like, whoa, you did.
Whoa.
You might want to keep
might
that wanna... down low. Whoa. Okay, Joe.
Whoa. Maybe don't talk about that. Maybe just keep that between yourself. Whoa. Don't bring that into our public sphere. Whoa. I went like this. I went, whoa. Put my phone up to my ear and went, I dialed like a random number and just went, whoa. Whoa.
You dialed 911 and they go, 911, what's your emergency? And you go, whoa. Ooh. Yikes. Bye.
If I ever called 911, that's probably how I would sound. Not that that's I ever want to ever.
Never, but like that is the next. If I ever
I would just
to call
be so nervous. I'd just be like, oh, oh, no. And then I would
made a mistake. Sorry.
They wouldn't be able to trace the call.
Yeah. Poor Gia is literally struck with disease.
Oh my god, I've been violently sick like this on Christmas Day, and I've actually, like, when I was like 13, I was like projectile vomiting on Christmas Day. It was horrible. And I just sat, I laid in my parents' bathroom and like took like 8 baths and like didn't participate in Christmas. And my family was just like, you're right up there? And I was like, yeah.
Oh,
so I felt her pain.
Yeah, I've been like, I haven't been sick on Christmas, but I've definitely been like so sick when it comes to like a group outing or a family thing that I'm supposed to be doing and had to just like be siphoned away to like lay. Poor Gia.
They didn't really help her.
No, Teresa barges in on her and she's like probably like having a crazy bout of diarrhea or something. And then Teresa's like, wow, what's going on? What are you doing? You on the toilet? Are you on the toilet? Well, at least flush it. And I was just like, God, Teresa, get the fuck out of here.
I know. She's like about to be a teenager. Like, that's so embarrassing. And then Joe's not, he's like, what's going on?
Joe laughs. He looks, he's a, and then she runs. She's like, oh, I'm going to be sick again. And then goes and like hurls. And then comes out of the bathroom and Teresa gives her some tea and she like sits on like the couch and Teresa goes, come here, take a photo. And then Gia goes, right after I threw up, and Teresa goes, because you look pretty now. And then she smiles. And I was like, whoa, this is dark. She did look really pretty, but it was like, you know, when it's like
it
right after you like wept or like right after you've thrown up, you're kind of like glassy eyed and like sexy. Was like, that was what Teresa. Gia was serving. I noticed it when she walked out of the bathroom and I didn't want to say anything, so thank you. I was like,
I didn't
want to
say anything,
beautiful.
But she
looked
great.
And then Teresa did the job for me, and then I was like, you psycho. But I noticed it too.
She goes, Joe, try a gnocchi.
You want some torte panettone? You want some try these cookies. I was like, where does she have time to bake all of this shit?
I know. She probably bought it.
Yeah. Melania doing Gabriella's makeup was really cute.
While Gia's hurling, Melania and Gabriella were like, and they were probably all like giggling.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, like, shut up over there.
Shut up, you old sicko. Go take a shit.
I'm applying some blush.
I'm showing Gabriella how to get all sexy like.
You see?
Giving her a makeover, teaching her how to contour. You could learn a thing or two. Go throw up, and then we'll take a photo of you.
Hey, keep it down over there. I'm teaching her a thing or two about rouge. Smoking out her eyes.
I'm trying to put some lipstick on her.
Yeah, and she puts it on, and it's like Ronald McDonald.
It's like all over her face. They're so cute together.
Yeah.
Yay, looks great.
It's literally her whole face is just like zigzags of lipstick all over her face.
Now you finally look hot. That looks amazing.
We'll bring you out to the Elks Club tonight.
She goes, you're going to have to go in there. You're going to have to get to the information. You remember what I talked about? I'm getting you all gussied up so you can go in there and get the information we need. They're like doing like sting operations.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to go on the ATV. You're going to strut in like you own the joint.
And you're going to get the key that's hanging in the back.
And go steal the guns and the cash out of the back room. But you're going to have to wine and dine them. You're going to have to be the real charming like you always are. Okay, Gabriella, go in there now. She like walks in with like a face full of like smeared child makeup. She's like, hey, boys.
Someone calls like...
Gabriella's like calls. Jessica Rabbit. If Melania's like alter ego is a gangster, Gabriella's like, hey, boys, what are you doing in there? Oh,
they call the police on her.
Yeah.
They're like this child with lipstick all over her face.
It's literally like a baby.
Is that the Elks Club? We cut to Hoboken, and Albie and Chris are getting ready to go to this party, and Albie tells Chris about not embarrassing him in front of a mystery woman.
I was like, who are they into? I just totally did not. I did not know. I didn't see this twist coming.
Then Caroline, Jacqueline, Chris, and Albie and Lauren, Albert and Lauren pick the brothers Manzo up in a black limo. Caroline's just eating Altoids left and right.
Limos are so 2010. Like, you never see a limo anymore.
No way.
Limos are not. You just don't do them.
And then we realize that they're on their way to go see Alexa Ray Joel, daughter of Billy Joel and Christie Brinkley, sing.
The performance.
And apparently they're really close with her, which I always, every time I watch this, I'm like, what?
They're not.
Caroline is obsessed with Alexa Ray Joel.
Caroline is a star fucker and wants Albie to get with Alexa. Albie's like, we met at a charity event, which I think means we've met like a couple times and have like interacted like at an event with family that we like paid to be at. And like now Caroline has it in her head that like it's Albie's calling to be with Alexa for eternity. She goes,
marry the Joel.
They're both children of privilege.
That made me want to throw up.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's the reason they should be together? You psycho. And then she won't stop talking about how much she wants them to, like, get married.
They get to the event, which is this weird space in New York.
I also think that they had to pay for a table to, like, be at that event.
Yeah, I think so, too. They're apparently there as guests of Alexa, but I don't believe that. Caroline she's just going on, knowing who her father is, she's just completely unaffected. And Jacqueline's like, wow.
They're going on and on about it. Jacqueline's like, yeah, it's like, it's not even a big deal. It's so amazing to see her really doing her thing and like taking action. And I was just like, God, they both are just like up Alexa Ray Joel's ass of all people.
I know. Then she comes over and she says hi to everyone. Caroline's like vibrating with like excitement over seeing her.
She can't get over it.
Containers. Okay, I have to be honest. I actually turned it off because I remembered right after Albie said this quote that has haunted me for years, and I remembered it, and then I turned it off because I remember I can't watch it. Albert, they sit down, and Caroline goes, you guys are both born like months apart. She goes, you guys are both born months apart. You're the same age. And then Alexa goes, well,
She goes, but I think Albie's a little younger than you. And then Alexa goes, oh no, I'm the oldest one at this table now. And then Chris goes, oh, let me just say this. I have to say it in the world. She's like, oh, I feel so old now. And then Albert goes, no. You want milk? He goes, you want milk? Because you're an old lady, you know? And everyone at the table looks so like, devastated that he said that.
He ruined everyone's lives that night.
And it's so awkward. And Alexa's like, yeah. Like, it's so uncomfortable. What is her reaction? Because I turned it off.
No, she's just like, huh. And then Chris is like, does a side eye. And then no one else like laughs or says anything. And there's like a beat. And then the conversation goes. But it's like, you felt a million dreams die in that moment.
Yeah.
And you know, Albie has been forever haunted by his own words for the rest of his days.
You want milk?
Just you're an old lady. I was like, whoa, he literally like can't even speak around her. And I've been that way where I've gotten just so nervous, like I can't say anything. Like, but damn, he really screwed the pooch.
Yeah.
I love that he just has to tell Chris, he goes, do not speak in a Cajun voice tonight.
I know.
I love Chris too, because Chris is just like, whatever, like I can talk to Willa. Like he is unfazed, like doesn't care, is like a funny waller.
I know, and I was like, maybe you should have Chris marry her, not Albie.
Yeah, Chris is the fun one. You want to be the guy that's like, don't do that. Don't do the creative voice.
Yeah, everyone pins their hopes on Albie, but Chris is the real star.
He is the star.
But that was insane.
It was terrifying. And then Alexa, well, then also when they were in the limo, Caroline goes, it's lovely that we're in a car full of young people ready to take the world by storm. I was like, what are you on?
She's on something.
She's on Alexa. She's like obsessed with Alexa.
They're both children of privilege.
They're both children of privilege.
So they should be together. It's like, what okay. The fuck are you talking about? Chris even says at one point, he's like, my mom would like, it's like medieval. Mm-hmm. Like she wants like to marry him off
for like a bale of sheep, a bale of hay, yeah. And like a few sheep. She would, as if like that is even within the realm of possibility
that she would get with him.
Yeah, there's absolutely no way.
Shows you like what a big fish they are in that small pond.
Mm-hmm. I love footage of Christy Brinkley running around. But no footage of her saying hi to Caroline.
No. Alexa Rachel.
What is she up to now?
I think she was engaged to someone.
She had like a tragic mm-hmm. moment, right?
Yeah, I think she like had some depression and possibly like addiction stuff. But...
Mm. Alexa's like, okay, I'm going to leave you alone. Get to work. Caroline goes, you get to work. Don't even worry about us. We're fine.
Don't even worry about us. She's like, good, because I'm not.
Good knowing it was. I literally was like told to come say hi to you by like a producer. Then Alexa takes the stage and she goes, I'm Alexa Rachel, in case you don't know. This is called All I Can Do Is Love. And then sings... I truly was like, oh my fucking god, this song.
What was this? I can't believe I didn't hear any of this.
Oh
I
my
just,
god, you needed I, to hear the song. I can't, it's like, it's just like a real, like her voice goes in between being like, kind of like baby singing to then like a hottest song. Like it just is really all, like she's in tune. But it's also just like, what is going on key?
I'm Alexa Rachel, in case you didn't know.
I'm Alexa Rachel, in case you didn't know. This is called All You Can Do Is Love. I can't do it.
Cut to us like in the Hudson River, just
floating face down. A detective is kicking my lifeless body, being like, yep, she's dead.
from watching a North Jersey family shamelessly starfuck.
To where was she last seen? Alexa Ray Joel's Christmas Eve concert, Christmas Day concert.
I'm Alexis Ray Joel, in case you didn't know.
In case you didn't know. And this song is called All I Can Do Is Love.
All I Can Do Is Love.
And then it cuts to Albert Sr. at one point, like the whole table, and Albert Sr.'s just like low key, just like on his phone.
Yeah. He's like, I don't give a shit.
And Caroline goes, we're a rough and tumble bunch, but behind that rough and tumble is love. What does that even mean? It means nothing.
Shut up.
Your words are meaningless.
Your words mean nothing.
Your words mean literally nothing.
Danielle Staub walks in.
And then thus ends a Christmas miracle.
The Christmas season comes in and out as quick as it came.
And now we're just going to be in Jersey winter, which I have no interest in. I would want to get out of Jersey after fall and Christmas is over.
Yeah.
And get back to like sunshine, happiness.
Get back to being in your house and you can't leave.
Yeah. I don't want to be in Jersey for like New Year's Eve. That's of no interest to me.
I've done it.
I want to be out in like the wilderness on New Year's Eve.
Jersey New Year's Eve isn't that bad.
No.
Look, I'm like one of the guys on the runway.
Carrie's has two microphones, one in each hand, and he's waving them at me like a flight runway man.
Or woman.
Or woman. Person. You'd be great.
I would. I would add some flair.
I love you adding flair of just like confusing, semi-voguing kind of moves.
The plane's all like go off the runway.
I'm ready to see this comedy, like this physical comedy in a movie of you being like suddenly you find yourself in a runway situation. You just have to like kind of I Love Lucy go with it.
Cast me.
I miss physical comedy.
We still got some.
I miss laughter. Does anybody remember laughter?
Where's the laughter? Where's the applause?
Where's the applause? Where's the laughter?
Well, I wanted to thank you for listening to us in another episode. Thank you to Lars for...
Thank you for being
solid combo.
Thank you for being thoughtful, hilarious, genuine, beautiful.
I just wanted to shout this out really quick.
Shout it out.
I just wanted to suggest a place to donate. It's a Black-led nonprofit called Color of Change, explicitly working toward Black liberation. They have petitions. You can donate to them instead of donating to change.org, which is supposed to be a for-profit donation. So if you're going to donate, you should donate to places like Color of Change, which go directly to the organization that benefits Black communities. I didn't realize that change.org is not a place to donate. It's a place you can sign, but not a place to donate. So
they kind of pose it as a donation, but it really is like just for them to keep their website up and running. But Color of Change is a good place to donate. I donated 50 to Color of Change.
Yeah, I donated 30 last night. Yeah, if you want to match either 30, between 30 and 50, me and Laura, anyone who's listening, go to Color of Change. And there's a donation section of the website. And if you want to, if you can, obviously, like, give whatever you can. But
yeah,
if you,
no pressure, if you have, but
if you want to match us or meet us, between $30 and $50, we'll...
What can we do as, like, a match challenge? I'm like, just match
it. Yeah, just match it. Just meet us there.
Meet me at the match. Anywhere between $30 to $50 or $1 or
$5. $1, $5,
literally
anything.
Any dollar amount is fine.
Color of Change.
And we won't do anything except
but we'll just
psychically
love you.
We'll love you. And even if you don't donate, we'll love you anyways. So yeah. All right.
Anyway,
follow Carrie at Icario Icaro.
Follow Lars Marie at Lars Marie and at Nancy Myers on Instagram. And
don't ever trust the Pomodoro because they're just a mischief maker.
Don't trust the Pomodoro. The tomato.
Pomodoro.
See you next week.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.